Well, on behalf of my family to yours, I want to wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas. And I pray that God meets us all in this moment. And if you're like our family or like many of us in this season, this tends to be a pretty chaotic time. A lot of craziness goes into this season for a lot of different reasons, right? You might be feeling chaos related to just Christmas. You might be feeling chaos related to something personal going on in your life. You might be feeling a sense of chaos because of something medical or personal that you're dealing with. And I just want to give us all a moment here tonight on this Christmas Eve to take a moment to breathe. That kind of sounds nice, doesn't it? Just take a breath. In fact, I want to invite you to do that right now. Everybody just take in a deep breath. It's essential for living. And just breathe. And yes, we are in a little bit of a chaotic moment, even here tonight with our kids in here. But I really want to focus on just that quiet moment that takes in the significance of tonight. There is a great theologian named Dr. Seuss. Has anybody ever heard of Dr. Seuss before? Raise your hand. Dr. Seuss made a great phrase that I want to start with tonight. Dr. Seuss says, "Sometimes you don't know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory. Sometimes you don't know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory." And I just want to take a few minutes tonight and point us towards the place, the value of this moment, because the chaos keeps us from considering how significant this moment really is. And I want to start with Luke chapter 2 today. And I want to read this again, this story that we just had our kids retell. And I want you to engage the text almost as if maybe you've never heard it before, like it's your first time. In Luke chapter 2, we see this incredible story. This miraculous event happens on earth with the shepherds. And it says this: "The angel said to the shepherds, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people.'" Think about that. For every person. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." It goes on to say in verse 17, "When the shepherds, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. They told everyone with all the passion they had, 'The Savior's been born. The Savior's been born.' And everyone was amazed." It's amazing to me that without hesitation, the shepherds experiencing this miraculous moment, and maybe we would all have done the same thing, experience this angel, this angelic host, they leave what they're doing to find this baby who was the Savior. And they find this baby, and of course they bring their own energy, their own chaos to that really important moment where we read how Mary handled it in the stable that night. And this verse that I want to finish up with is actually a verse that oftentimes goes overlooked, and yet it is so informative for us as we think about this tonight. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." And Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Sometimes you don't know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory. Mary treasured these things up. She pondered these moments in her heart. And we don't actually know exactly what she thought through. We don't know the moment that she pondered. But we have a pretty good idea based on the narrative of Scripture, right? If only we had Mary's journal from that first year, right? Where we could really know what she thought about. But I'd be willing to bet and be willing to submit to you tonight that Mary thought through three different things related to God in that moment. I would say that I think she thought about God's promises from the past, that she considered God's peace in the presence, in the present, and I think that she thought about God's power in the future. So let's just take a few moments to breathe and to consider these things in our own lives. First of all, let's talk about God's promises from the past. Mary had just given birth. This was one of the most significant and probably chaotic, maybe even trauma-filled moments that she had ever experienced in her life. She had given birth to a baby in a barn next to farm animals, probably surrounded by hay. This probably was an amazing moment, which of course is a little bit risky for me to say as a man who's never had a baby, right? But I have been a part of four different births in our own family. And in the hospital in those days, I just tried not to say something that people would remember for "you shouldn't have said that" kind of thing. Try to stay out of the way. But those were incredible moments. Mary had just experienced the chaos of this moment, giving birth, and these shepherds showed up and added their own energy and their own gravity. There are a few things more memorable, and Mary is all of a sudden given the chance to ponder. She's a new mom. She just dealt with all the chaos, and finally, maybe the shepherds left. She finally had a moment to think. And she ponders, what just happened? What did we just go through? What did the last 9 months look like in my life? Think about Mary's life. It was maybe just a month or a month and a half earlier when Joseph came home from his carpenter shop, right? He said, guess what? Caesar is forcing us to go to Bethlehem to be part of the census. What do you think she said? Are you serious? I am 8.5, 9 months pregnant. You want me to travel 100 miles to Bethlehem? She would have said, no way. Joseph would have said, it's the law. We've got to do it. And so they started on the journey. And we probably would have had the same reaction as Mary. It was a 100-mile journey. It was wintertime. And she had to ride on the back of a donkey at that late hour in her pregnancy. And it was a dangerous road. Check out this map. You can see that they had to go through the mountains. They had to go down by the river valley. It would have been cold. There wouldn't have been, you know, the Motel 6 to greet them every night, right? There wasn't Chick-fil-A and Culver's and all the wonderful McDonald's that we enjoy on our road trips. They would have been traveling on dirt roads, making up shelters from like tents or side of a cave. And it was a dangerous road. It was dangerous with criminals and different things. And yet, God provided and was with them. God took us to Bethlehem, she may have thought. He has to be with us. She would have remembered how God walked with them on this journey. She might have also remembered something very significant from her past. And that was this prophecy that talked about Jesus Christ, found in Isaiah, a prophecy that we've celebrated for years here at the church. It's found in Isaiah chapter 7. And maybe she would have remembered the words of Isaiah in that moment, where it says, Isaiah says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And here she looks down and she's holding Emmanuel. This prophecy that had been foretold centuries earlier. And here she was in that moment holding baby Jesus. God is with me. He's been with us every step of the journey. I just want to encourage you to stop for a moment in your own life and think about how God has been with you in your past. Maybe some of you have had the best 9 months you've ever had. Maybe some of you have had the hardest 9 months you've ever had. How has God been with you in this moment? I think it's pretty fair to say that Mary pondered the way that God had promised and cared for her in the past. Mary treasured up and she pondered perhaps God's peace in the present. God's peace in the present. Maybe Mary, even in that moment, looked over at Joseph, that present moment, as she pondered and saw her husband in a different light. How many people believed her story? That she was a virgin, that she had conceived this child through the work of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph even struggled with this. You might remember the story. And yet, he stood by her. He cared for her. Maybe she looked at her husband and pondered the way that God had blessed her in that moment. She's in the middle of the chaos and middle of this moment that was beyond understanding. And I wonder, even in that present moment, if we could talk to Mary and say, Mary, would you have done it like this again? Would you do it if you had the option? I think she might have said, there's no way I would choose this journey. It's been too hard. Do you know what we just had to go through? The scrutiny, the questioning, the difficulty. It's been too difficult. But isn't it amazing that how God uses some of our most difficult situations to bring about his glory? When I was thinking about this in my own life, particularly related to the birth narrative in this moment, I couldn't help but think about my own story. My wife Marie and I and our story of being married now 26, almost 27 years. And just like many of you when you were young 20s, in fact, we have a great picture of us when we're, look at baby Tim and Maria back in the day, right? Back in 1997, 98, we were married. And we had a dream, just like a lot of people. We thought, you know what? We're going to get married and we are going to have kids. We're going to raise this big family and it's going to be wonderful. And how difficult for me was the day when the doctor said, you're probably not going to be able to get pregnant. That dream of you having a family is probably not going to happen. We don't think that it absolutely can happen, but it's going to be difficult. It was a disappointing moment. And I remember going home from the hospital or the doctor's clinic that day frustrated. A day later, my amazing wife, Maria, came up to me. She's like, why are you so grumpy? I'm like, because of what the doctor said. She goes, would you stop being so grumpy? I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, the Lord told me when I was 10 years old that I was going to adopt kids anyway, so don't even worry about it. Maybe it was a little bit different than that, but that was the gist. I said, you never told me we were going to adopt kids. She said, well, you better start praying about it because it's about to happen. And together, we started one of the most remarkable journeys of our lives, where we got to celebrate not one adoption, not two adoption, not three adoptions, but even a fourth biological birth child. And the way that we look back on our family now, 20 years later, I can see the hand of God being present with us throughout that entire journey. And I have to ask you, dear friends, family, those of you who are part of New City, those of you who come with other family tonight, maybe if some of our neighbors, how has God been with you in your life? How has he journeyed with you through those frustrating, hard and difficult moments? Because he's there. He's been there for you. Oftentimes, it's a matter of us seeing the hand of God in that moment. If you look at your life story and you take a minute to ponder, to treasure these things up, where do you see God in your life? The third thing that I think Mary probably considered, and I'll close with this tonight, I think Mary considered God's promises from the past. I think Mary considered God's peace in the moment. And I think Mary also considered God's power in the future. How could she not? God had been with her entire life. He had taken her through some of the most difficult situations that she had ever lived through. How could she not look forward to the future and even look down at her baby and think, God, what are you going to do in this situation? Later in Luke chapter 2, we actually read that Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to be dedicated. And they met a prophet there named Simeon. And Simeon took Jesus in his arms and he praised God and he said this, this child has been sent from God, but many of you will oppose him. And then looking directly at Mary, he said this phrase that would break her. And a sword will pierce your very soul. And a sword will pierce your very soul. Mary is a mother, just like any of the moms in the room here, just like any mom you've ever known, who want nothing but the best for their kids, who want to protect them and love them and nurture them and raise them up to be well. And when she would have heard this phrase, it would have broke her soul. And there's no way that Mary could have known in that moment these words that this life of Emmanuel, of Jesus, would be the world's greatest blessing, but it would also be her greatest breaking. It was 33 years later when she would stand by the cross and she would watch her son Jesus, who was innocent, stand nailed to a cross. He would suffer and die a sinner's death, an innocent death. And I can only imagine that she sat there next to the cross, weeping, discouraged, distraught, thinking about what had just happened. But when you're like Mary, and you've walked with Jesus for so long, there has to be a dynamic of trust in God in these situations. Mary might have said, I know, God, that you've always been faithful in my past. I know that you've always been there for me in the present. You've always been good. And in the future, I trust you. And don't we love the end of the story? That just 3 days later, God in his miraculous power would roll the stone away from the tomb, and he would resurrect Jesus Christ. He was faithful again to Mary. And that moment, we have a reason to celebrate. We all have this incredible moment where the grace of God now covers all of humanity because of the work that God did, Jesus Christ. So this Christmas season, I just want to ask you to ponder for a moment. Consider your life. Take this moment to consider where God is at work in your life. Slow down, reflect, ponder it, and look for God in this holy moment. Because I realize that there's many of you that have come here tonight possibly hurting. The Bible says that God is your comforter. I know that some of you have come here tonight maybe even afraid. The Bible literally says that God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. I know that some of us in the room maybe feel weak and overwhelmed. The Bible says over and over that God is our strength. Some of you might feel rejected. Know that God is a friend that will never leave you nor forsake you. Some of you even have some financial struggles that you're going through right now. The Bible paints a picture of God being the provider. And finally, some of you might be sick. In the name of Jesus, may you be healed. And one of the things that we all have in common in this place, no matter what your story is, no matter where you come from, no matter who you are, is that we all share this difficult, challenging thing about being human, and that is this: we're all sinners. There's nobody in this room who gets to judge anyone. We are all saved by the same grace of Jesus Christ. And so we come tonight and we lay our burdens down at the feet of Christ. Whatever it is, our sin, our shame, needing comfort, needing God to provide, we lay it down at the cross and we realize that God loves us in every perfect way. In fact, God is here with us now. He's in this moment. He's in this celebration. He's in our celebration with our families because he is Emmanuel, God with us. Sometimes you don't know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day, and I want to thank you for this family that is gathered here. I want to pray for my sisters and my brothers in this space. As we celebrate this silent night, as we celebrate this moment of joy, we also take a minute to stop and to think about our lives and to consider the past, the ways that God, you've cared for us, to consider even the present moment, to think about who's sitting around us, the way that they've loved us and cared for us. And we think about our futures, God. And we especially think about our future right now. How will this moment impact our future? And I want to pray for my friend in the room, a person that's come here tonight struggling. Maybe it's because of a broken relationship. Maybe it's because of something related to a family situation, a friendship situation. Maybe there's something that they're dealing with in their life, Father, that feels out of control. Maybe, God, there's people in this room that have been running from you their whole lives. So even as we take this moment to ponder, I would wonder, is there anyone in this room who would want to think about taking a next step with Jesus. And even as we pray right now, would you lay your burdens down at the feet of Christ? Would this Christmas be a different Christmas, not just about exchanging gifts and eating a lot of food and the chaos of the season, but that it would be so much more than that, where we actually take a step towards Christ and trust Him with our future? If that's you tonight, I want to ask you, with every eye closed in this room, with our heads bowed, taking a moment to ponder and just pray, Jesus, take my life. I'm here for you. Father, you know our hearts and you know the state of our minds and our souls. You know the burdens we carry. It feels wonderful to be at church in this moment, but Father, it feels even better to know that our lives can be changed by the love and the power of Jesus Christ. May it be so for my friends in the room, even right now. So I pray for the mother that's in this room, that's struggling with her kids or struggling with something going on in her lives. I pray for the father that's in this room that may be struggling. I pray for the grandfather. I pray for the sister, the brother. I pray for every person that's here that we would experience this holiday season the power of a moment because of the work that you do to change our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. May we be especially aware of it in this moment. And so tonight, friends, I invite you to grab your candles. If you don't have a candle, we're going to pass some out. I think Kirk is on that, please. And as you consider the candle tonight, I want to pray that as you take this light and pass it on, I want to pray that it would remind you of the incredible love that you have in Jesus Christ. And maybe it reminds you of the next step that Jesus is calling you to, particularly as you trust Him with your future. This is a beautiful, silent night. May you be blessed in this moment. What I'll do is I will light the person who's sitting on the end of each row. I will light your candle, and you can just start passing that light down the aisle, and the lights will go lower and lower, and Jamie will lead us in silent night. God bless you, friends.